Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkins.
Today, we're doing another Bob and Richard Answer Their Mail show. We have lots of questions that are backed up. Keep them coming. And you can send your questions to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. You can leave them after the shows are posted on gamblingwithanedge.com, and we'll pick them up from there. Or sometimes people send them to Bob and me, to Richard and me individually. But keep them coming. We'll do the best we can do. And we're recording this from our respective homes, as the quarantine is more or less still on, although it's eased up a little bit. They are repaving streets in my neighborhood over this period of time. And so you may hear some rumbling in the background periodically. It probably will not affect the quality of the show, but you will hear it. And it is, when you do, it is not your computer.
It may be my stomach, but other than that.
It may be Richard's stomach, although Nellie is back in town, so her cooking is pretty good, I think. So probably not Richard's stomach. All right, the first question we have is, what is your opinion of AP Twitter as of late?
Well, since Bob isn't on Twitter, I will field this one. This actually came in quite a while back, so it's been a while to get to this question. And at the time, there was quite a bit of, kerfluffle going on because some people thought other people were revealing too much information. I didn't think that one of the targets of this was revealing too much. But, some people want absolutely nothing revealed, and other people are just trying to make a living, so any morsel they can pick up, they're eager to see it. So, I didn't really have much of an opinion one way or another. It's cyclical. These things ebb and flow.
I've had this kind of criticism about me for decades. There have been a number of people who come and take my classes. And after they're through with taking the classes and they've learned what I've had to teach, they want me to shut up so nobody else has that same information. And so there is power in information, but I'm into sharing much of what I know so people can enjoy the game.
Yeah,
so,
they used to give an enormous amount of flack to James Grosjean about his first book for revealing, a whole card play in three card poker. And that book came out, the first one came out 20 years ago, and people are still playing three card poker. So the idea that you're burning something out by revealing it is kind of ridiculous.
Well, it depends on what it is that you're saying. There are... for example, there is a $5 game in Vegas where there's only a few machines at a particular casino that is only a particular promotion.
Sure.
Periodically. Yeah. If I tell people about that, I'm positive that would be burned out.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Good. There's a question for me, I guess. If somebody wanted to know, maybe it's to Richard. If you were trying to learn both blackjack card counting and video poker, would you learn one completely before you started the other?
Well, it really depends on what I was trying to do. I would not learn video poker unless I was in a place where I knew I was going to be able to get good mailers. And, you know, I wouldn't learn it just to learn it. It's like people who want to learn shuffle tracking. I'm like, why? Where are you going to go play? You know, now, you know, so if you live in a place where you have reason to believe that you're going to get good mail by playing video poker, then yes, I would learn that thoroughly, or at least whatever game is in that particular casino that's going to get you the mail. Yeah, I would learn that first. Now, if you don't have that and you just think you want to learn it because it's something to learn, then yeah, then I wouldn't bother.
Yeah, learning how to speak Korean is something to learn.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I guess the answer is, well, okay. So let's say that you, decide, I just want to learn enough of both so that I can take vacations to Vegas and earn comps, you know, and maybe get my room comped and my food and et cetera, et cetera. Well then, yeah, then I might, study both so that you can play both while you're there. But I wouldn't, you know, count cards in that, or at least I would not spread enough where I may get thrown out of the room that I'm trying to get for free, you know. So basic strategy would be enough to learn that thoroughly and then play video poker and get your edge by taking advantage of the comps.
Yes, and you could certainly do, if you wanted to count cards, do that in a separate casino. There's numerous places here in Vegas where you can play video poker at one and blackjack at another. All right. Somebody wanted to ask me that, how I can still make a living playing break-even video poker. And the answer is, I can't. I'm playing with a bigger edge than that. There are games that on single point days are close to break even and on multiple point days are slightly ahead. There are promotions which stack up, meaning they'll have a monthly promotion of something and perhaps one day a week is a senior day with an extra something. And in addition, you have a coupon with an extra something. And so it's an adding up of all these extra somethings that make it playable, not the game by itself. So if it was just break even video poker, I'm not interested. Having variance with no advantage is not what I'm after. But there are these situations out there where you can find them. But again, it's adding up the promotions, learning the games well, and which includes at most places getting mailers, which as Richard mentioned earlier. Although there's a lot of good plays in Vegas where even players who've been backed off from getting mailers can still find an edge and still play.
By the way, while we're talking about that, we had a question a couple of shows back, I think, about taking advantage or, how might advantage players take advantage of this whole shutdown. And we talked about the idea that the casinos, when they reopen, may be giving people really great offers as a way to get them back. And I am already hearing reports of really, really good offers coming from places, even though they're not even open yet. And I think there's something on Caesars properties with tier credits that you can earn every day. So you can get at least a platinum, I think, by the end of May, just by doing things on the app or something. So anyway, if you have accounts, you might want to start logging into them and seeing what kind of offers they're offering, because it is starting. And we're recording this on May 1st, so by the time you hear it, there may be even more.
Oh, there will be more. And at Caesars in particular, they do judge your play on daily average theoretical. So if you do take advantage of these, you earn so many points per day by playing a relatively small amount per the app. This will kill any chance you have of getting good mailers in the future, for the near future, because it'll set the theoretical basically several days of close to zero theoretical, because they're not making any money when you're playing on the apps. So yes, you can get up to platinum, but you're going to be playing without good mailers going forward for a while. That's a trade-off you're going to have to judge for yourself, but is not one that would be interesting to me.
But now you're talking about places where you can play for real money on the app, right? So if you play on the app in states where you're just playing funny money, I was under the impression that you can rack up tier credits just by, you know, playing for nothing. Now, maybe I'm wrong about that. I didn't investigate.
No, I think you can. And that would give them a theoretical of zero, meaning they're not making any money on that.
Well, no, of course not. But it makes you look like a player. You're thinking that because you're playing on the app where you can't bet any money, that
yes,
they're going to call that a trip and trip you
yes
for it. I don't know that that's true.
I don't know either. But I've been around video poker and Caesars for long enough to believe that they would, but I've been wrong before.
Yeah. But definitely at least log on to the app and see what kind of offers they're offering you.
All right. Somebody's asked about the classes that I teach at the South Point. And we ask people to sign in, and so they want to get a head count. And players want to know is, wouldn't your name being on a list of one of the attendees of my class put you on a list at the South Point for being an AP and hence closer to being barred there? And to my knowledge, that hasn't happened. There have not been players coming back and telling me they've been barred at the South Point and it's all my fault it's the only thing they did was attend my classes. So I don't think the South Point assumes that because you attended classes that you are learning what it is to taught.
They wouldn't offer them if they believed that.
Yeah, they like the fact they are paying me to teach you, to get you into the casino. They think that even if you come into the casino to listen to the class, that you will stay there and gamble some, and they have the edge on you. So I don't think you are going to be barred just for being in the classes. So,
if you are super paranoid, can't you just log in as John Smith?
Can't you just use a fake name in the classes?
Yeah.
I suppose we do ask for a player's card. I suppose you could have picked one up off the ground.
Well, or you could just say, oh, I don't have a player's card. I just came for the class. Or you can just sit in the class and not sign in. I mean, I've wandered in and done that. I don't think I've ever signed in.
Well, first of all, you're kind of a special case, Richard. And my helpers know who you are. And so we're trying to get good names for it. But
I get it. I mean, I just realized there are some people that are super paranoid. Of course, those people probably wouldn't go to the class at all anyway, because they think surveillance was snapping their picture or whatever, you know.
Yeah, if you there are some really sharp players who come to the class, and by the end of the semester are sharper. But there are a lot of people who come to the class who aren't that sharp, and they're just trying to improve. And even after they've gone through the classes a few times, they are not a threat to the casino. They are less of a threat, or maybe more of a threat than they were before the classes, but still the casino is making money off of them. So just by sitting in the class, they can't judge your knowledge level, because it's like, would you think that everybody who sat in an algebra class for a whole semester knew algebra cold at the end of the class? If you do, you've not taught math to people, because there's a wide variety of results. All right. Somebody asked a question about the VP2 website. The VP2 website is one that lists basically all of the good games in every casino in the country, video poker wise. And wanted to know why the VP free list tables ending in 1600 or 800 for the Royal, but the machines all say 250. And that is by convention. A Royal typically pays 4,000 coins when you bet five, which is an average of 800 per coin bet. So if you're betting five coins, it is 800 per line. So all of the numbers are listed on a one coin basis. So like 9-6 jacks would be listed from the bottom of 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 9, 25, 50, 800, even though the machine would say 250 if you only bet five. So that's just by convention. When it says 1600, that would mean you get paid double royals for five coins bet. So somebody wants to know if they're interested in helping them out, or maybe how would they do it? And the answer to that is there is a contact email address on the website, and they are run by volunteers. And if you're interested in helping, they're pretty likely to be interested in you. So if that's something you want to do, go ahead. Next question. Why don't table games players get W2Gs for wins above $1,199? And the answer is because that's the law. There's a list of games where W2Gs are required, and blackjack and other table games aren't on that list. Neither the players nor the casinos are interested in changing this, but they're currently not on the list, so that's the only reason.
Well, also, you know, there's a law about 1099-ing people if they win a bet that's more than, I think it's 300 to 1 or 600 to 1. So if you're playing a table game and you hit a side bet, like in three-card poker or something like that, where you have a payoff that's more than that, then you will get a 1099, but not a W2G.
Very good. Somebody said he's been interested in counting cards for some time. He started with he has a decent sized bankroll of $3,000 that he knows more would be better, but 3,000 is not shabby. And he currently plays in Czechoslovakia because he lives in Prague. He wants to know if there are good games in Europe. Somebody told him that there are no good games in Czechoslovakia, but he's willing to travel. Countries are pretty close to each other in that part of the world. So, Richard, do you have any good games of good information on good games in Europe, or how to get that information?
No, I mean, the only thing you can do is go scout. And I would say this, there were reports for years about cheating in Czechoslovakia. So I would be very careful. Now, maybe that's been cleaned up. I don't know. But there were good games in Czechoslovakia. Maybe there are not anymore. I haven't gone to any of those casinos in a long, long time in Europe. So, you know, things change all the time. And right now, you know, who knows what the shutdown, how that is affected. A lot of casinos, I think, are going to go out of business, a lot of the smaller ones. So, no, the only way you can find these good games is to go find them yourself. So you just have to go out there and scout. That's part of the job.
Okay. A couple of shows to go. There was a question about craps, and we were using terms on such as 10 to 1 or house edge. And so somebody wanted us to explain what some of those terms mean. And it's a reasonable question, but it's not one I want to take up here. There are a lot of terms to learn to bring yourself up on gambling lingo. It could take us an entire podcast just to define those terms, which is guaranteed to put most of our audience to sleep. So I suggest you get a book like Michael Shackelford's Gambling 102, or, you know, go through his glossary, which defines a lot of these terms. Just visit his website at wizardofodds.com, and that will also have a similar glossary. Unless, Richard, unless you wanted to go through those definitions now.
Well, no, I agree. You need to do a little bit of homework, a little bit of Googling, and Wizard of Odds is a good place to start.
All right. Somebody has got a player's card before they discovered card counting. Didn't play much on the card, and hasn't been to that casino in over a year. Now he wants to be a card player without identifying himself. What would you recommend, Richard, as to whether he should pretend like he never got such a card, or just not count cards there?
No, of course I would go back. I would go there. I would just say you don't want a card. You don't have one. You don't want one. You guys know too much about me already. The government knows too much about me already. And when they say, we don't give this information to the government, just look at the guy like he's stupid and go, oh, right, I'm sure you believe that. You know, just act like you're paranoid, or say, you know, I don't want my wife finding out or whatever. Just say, no, I don't want it. They're not going to remember that you had a card a year ago.
All right. Somebody wants to know, with a caveat of without spilling too many beans, where would one find reliable hole carding strategy these days? Are there any books or websites with credible information, such as a lady with the name tag Shirley, who's a bit overweight and has red hair, does hole cards on the third shift at such and such a casino?
Wait, so he wants information about hole card strategy, or he wants actual information about where the games are?
You're right about that. It is hole card strategy he's asking for, and I riffed on that and took it one step beyond, which was inappropriate. So he has Exhibit CAA.
Oh, well, then he's got everything. It's in there.
So,
I mean, Exhibit CAA has not just regular hole card strategy, but it has strategy for partial information. It's got every chart you could imagine in there for hole cards at many different games.
All right.
That's a really weird question. I mean, that's what the whole book is. I mean, it's not the whole book. There's lots and lots of stuff in that book, but that's one of the major resources in the book is all of that information. So
it seems like he was considering Exhibit CAA as being the Old Testament and wanted to know if there was a New Testament somewhere.
Well, no, I mean, the rules of blackjack haven't changed, so I don't know why the numbers would change, but you've got everything
right.
You need.
So we're going to take a short break and do some commercials.
Wait, by the way, I should just say, it's possible some people confuse the book Beyond Counting with the book Exhibit CAA. So, Exhibit CAA is three times as long as Beyond Counting and has much more in it. But even Beyond Counting has hole card charts. So, but anyway, I digress.
That was good. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. South Point is now closed with all other casinos in Nevada and elsewhere. I do not know if there will be free video poker classes this fall or not. They have more we don't even know that the casinos are going to be open, although the several major casinos in Vegas are accepting reservations for May 1st and beyond. Whether the governor has casinos open or not by then, I don't know. So I'm pretty much at the mercy of what the casino wants, and they have bigger things on their plate right now than thinking about whether or not they want to offer free video poker classes. At predictit.org, there's a market where you can place small bets on the occurrence of various political events, mostly but not entirely the United States. The most active markets right now are who are going to be the nominees for vice president and who will win in various states. As we tape it on May 1st, the market for Trump winning is 50 cents and that for Biden is 43 cents. With various other people at small amounts adding up to 100 cents. Gambling with an Edge listeners receive a one-time offer of a deposit bonus up to $20 at predictit.org/promo/edge. You must play the money through once and cannot withdraw it for 30 days. Blackjack Apprenticeship is an excellent site for those of you who wish to be successful at counting cards at blackjack. Colin Jones, who runs it, is regularly producing a number of quality YouTube videos that are free for everybody for a week or two and then go into the members' vault and are only accessible if you have a subscription. So even if you checked out the videos on YouTube a week or two ago, there's probably another one there by now. The next boot camp is May 30th to 31st. When they teach boot camps, they don't really have social distancing. So I don't know if that boot camp is going to happen or not. When we get word on that, we will pass it along. VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the game. Game of the week, Spin Poker Deluxe. It plays the same as Spin Poker, which has 9 active lines, except Spin Poker Deluxe has 20 lines active, making it a 100 coins per play game. So a 25-cent game to fully load Spin Poker Deluxe would be $25. The EV and strategy of the game is exactly the same as the single-line version. And sometimes you can find good plays here where casinos, some casinos offer better gains for quarter players than they do for dollar players and higher. And if this is counted as a quarter game, but it's $25 per play, then you will get a higher EV than you might get for a $5 single line game at the same casino. Every case is different. You have to check it out to find it. But those situations have occurred and will occur. All right, back to our listener questions. Someone says their goal is to build a bankroll counting and to graduate to beyond counting as quickly as possible. Richard has said many times there are bigger opportunities out there if you've got a clean name to play them. He knows there's a lot of variables involved, but it comes down to the specific game and what kind of bankroll he needs. So he wants to know how much bankroll he needs, where would he find the necessary mathematical formulas to calculate the edge and bankroll needed? Richard.
Wow. Well, the only place I know to calculate bankrolls are is Norm Wattenberger's software at qfit.com. So that's the Casino Verite software. Colin Jones may have some software too, but I'm not familiar with it. You know, I should probably ask him about that so we can talk about it at some point on the air. But anyway, I don't know. I believe that Norm software will handle, you know, whole card information. So you might be able to calculate, you know, what kind of bankroll you would need for playing whole cards or whatever. Yeah, I guess that kind of answers the question. You know, this idea that you want to count cards and as quickly as possible move to beyond counting. Well, how are you going to do that? What's the plan to do that? Because if you have a plan that's reasonable for doing that, well, then why are you going to count cards? Because if you do that, you may just burn yourself out everywhere before you ever get to the beyond counting part of it. So you need to think about that. Like, what is the plan? Yeah. So that's my answer.
It's a good answer. Somebody wants to know, how bad we think the games in Vegas are going to be. We now see 6-5 blackjack everywhere and 000 roulette at the Venetian. And so he wants to know, why haven't casinos downgraded everywhere? Like, it would be easy for them to go even money on the 6 and 8 at craps and all kinds of making it tougher. My answer to that is, they might some days. Part of it is competition. In Vegas, there are several dozen casinos. If only one makes the change, then they will suffer a competitive disadvantage. Some players won't notice. Many players will. And players need, you know, casinos need players. If you make it so players can easily recognize the difference, then the players will stay away. A more likely situation is in slots, where you can't tell by looking at a slot machine whether it's going to pay 92% or 88%, for example. They look the same. Now, if you play and keep records, yeah, you're going to lose more at the 88% game than you do at the 92% game. Most slot players who would be silly enough to play either game don't keep records. And they're there for fun, and will I hit a big jackpot today? And they don't have any long-term thoughts. So that is a place where casinos can tighten up more and hide it from their players better. So I do expect that to happen, where the odds are posted on the table. I don't expect that to happen immediately, although over time, who knows? Do you have any thoughts on that, Richard?
Yeah, you know, these things spread slowly. So 20 years ago or whenever, when Bally's brought in 6-5, they advertised it as single deck is back, you know, but it's 6-5. And it took quite a long time for 6-5 to spread all over Las Vegas. So I think, you know, casinos experiment and they see, oh, okay, these places have brought in 000 roulette. Let's watch and see what happens. And if players are still playing it, then I think it'll start to spread to other casinos. But yeah, it just takes time. And sometimes it doesn't work, right? So when they brought in continuous shufflers, players just seem to not like them and they kind of stayed away. Whereas in Europe, they've spread a lot and they're all over the place. So yeah, they experiment and see how it goes. But yeah, it'll spread slowly. You know, things that I think you'll see happen because of the shutdown, I don't think you'll see anybody touching cards anymore. Like, I don't know what's going to happen to games like three-card poker and, you know, pie-gow poker, where the players hold the cards, unless they're going to start dealing them face-up, which they have a face-up version of pie-gow poker already. But yeah, I don't think you'll see people touching the cards. They've already shown pictures of these plexiglass shields that they're going to put up at tables to keep people from coughing on each other. I think they'll see a lot more stadium games where you're sitting at your own terminal and they have one dealer who's basically dealing to 60 people or whatever. But as for the rules, I think at the beginning they would not want to be doing that. Yes, their revenues are down, but they want to get people back in the door. So I don't think they'll be, you know, really putting the screws to people right away.
Yeah, it's interesting. The fact that they want to get people back in the door is a powerful argument. My thought is that casinos are going to be tighter when they come back, and Richard's thought is the casinos will be looser when they come back, at least to start with. Anthony Curtis seems to agree with Richard on this. I hope they're right, but I don't know. The casinos have lost millions and billions of dollars with this shutdown, and they want to make that money up somewhere. So we'll see what happens. Somebody wrote that he's hearing about the Asian gambling superpower and would love to learn how to take advantage of that as he begins his AP career. He's a young Asian male, 30 years old, with only American citizenship in a Seminole-run state. Now, I don't know what a Seminole-run state is, but I would guess maybe that Florida State plays their home games there. He's been a member of Blackjack Apprenticeship, and he plans on getting tested out live before taking the show on the road. So the good for him is he works as a traveling salesman, so his company sends me to all sorts of different locations, takes care of travel and expenses. The bad, he's an American of Korean descent, but does not speak fluent Korean. He can do a fantastic impression of his immigrant father, but if they have a Korean speaker who speaks fast to him, he's lost. He wants to know any insider advice to how to get his $1 million that Richard has said being Asian is worth. So Richard, how does he get his $1 million?
Well, you just go to work. Yeah, you go to work. I mean, first of all, you have to get proficient. And then it's not that you have to do anything special. It just means that you are going to last longer before they throw you out. One thing I would say is do not try to use your Korean accent around any Asian people. You know, it'll be great in Oklahoma around all the white people, but you do not want to get busted by someone who actually knows that, you know, that you don't know what you're doing. But anyway, yeah, so it's just, as I say, you don't have to do anything special other than go out there and go to work. And as I say, you will earn more than a 30-year-old white guy would, because you'll last longer before they throw you out.
Uh-huh. I have a suspicion this is not what he wanted to hear, but too bad, I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, let me just give you one example. So Caesars in Las Vegas used to have something called Asian airfare. White people could not get it. Only Chinese people who came in could get this Asian airfare, and it was basically a $5,000 airfare comp for Chinese people. You know, so, you know, that's one example of being able to get something because you're Asian. But the main benefit is the fact that you will last longer playing before they throw you out.
And MGM Grand in Vegas used to have a 20% discount on markers for Asians.
Yeah.
So if you had $100,000 in markers out, and then you could pay it off for $80,000. If you're playing a break-even game, that's a hell of a rebate. So whether or not they still have that, I don't know. They will probably not advertise it. You'll have to ask and find out. But I don't know. Another question. In the near term, will casinos require players to wear surgical masks and gloves to play in a casino? Richard, what's your prediction?
Well, I think they will. I don't think they'll have a choice. You know, Governor Sisolak has been talking about when the casinos are going to open, and he has this multi-phase plan. But I think they're going to be required in all businesses, which currently they are here in Nevada already. If you go anywhere, you're supposed to be wearing a mask. So, you know, this led to one of the biggest discussions on Twitter that I've had. You know, people were really interested in this topic because, you know, I don't think it's really going to buy you much. But, you know, people think, oh, I get to wear a mask. They won't know who I am. Well, they're still going to know. If you're counting cards, they're still going to pick you off pretty quickly. But anyway, I expect, yes, at least in the beginning, you will have to wear a mask. And the dealers will be wearing masks and gloves.
Yeah, and even so, be hesitant about rushing back into the casinos.
Oh, yeah.
The ones who are rushing in the most, I'm going to call them degenerates, which is not fair, but the people who just can't stay away from casinos are likely the ones who have not been practicing social distancing and other things as assiduously as other people have. And so the first group of people who go in are likely to be unhealthier than later groups of people who go in. I'm not positive this is true, but it might be. And that might be, would be enough to keep me away. It would take me a lot to get me back into the casino, immediately after you're allowed.
Yeah, me too. I have no plans to rush back to any casino.
Yeah. Now, you know, certainly $1,000 rebate would do it. The haven't had any of those in the mail, but there are things that would get me to do it. But I'm not real rushing to do that. All right, we have one last question. And then we're going to close up. Somebody had has booked a trip to a casino in the Dominican Republic, the Hard Rock Punta Cana. And now he's not sure about the COVID situation there. But in a theoretical world where he's actually going, he wants to know what are the risks of counting cards in the Dominican Republic. He has a small bankroll and would be red chipping. How do they handle card counters? Would he be risked being kicked out of the hotel he was staying at? Do you have any information on that, Richard?
I don't. I've never played Dominican Republic. I know a lot of people have. For red chips, I really would not be worried about it. But, you know, I think the best thing you could do would be to ask the question on blackjackapprenticeship.com or, you know, the Blackjack Discord or, you know, Blackjack the Forum. I'm sure there'll be people there who have played there and will be able to give you more info. But playing for red chips, I can't imagine you would have any problem.
Very good. So we still have lots more questions left. We're going to probably do this again next week. At the end of many of our shows, we have a recommended section. So I have one that I'm not sure how many people it applies to, but I'm going to give it anyway. And that I have a lot of extra time these days. So I've been spending time recreating from scratch video poker strategies for all of the game, which I have played that I'm currently playing in Vegas, or at least was before March 11th. I have discovered a few places where I had miswritten one of the instructions on the strategies. I have a few cases where I had forgotten about various strategy modifications. And so this process is bringing them up to my mind. All players have to review periodically unless they have a photograph memory, which is much stronger than mine. Back when I was in graduate school, I had pretty close to a photographic memory. That was 50 some years ago. So I no longer have close to that kind of memory. And it's less expensive to go through this review now than it would be when I have to give up playing a $100 an hour game to study some. Because now there aren't any $100 an hour games that I know about that I'm playing. So that's my recommended study.
For recommended, I think about, you know, where I'm eating, what I'm watching, what I'm reading, things like that. And what I'm watching right now is, and I may have mentioned this some months back, but season 2 came out of a show called Afterlife, which is a Ricky Gervais show. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix. And it's really not what you would expect from Ricky Gervais. But anyway, it's a funny show, and that's what I'm watching currently. So that's my recommendation for this week.
All right. So until we come back and do this again next week, thank you, Richard. And go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.